Shalom, everyone. Please pay close attention to this whole service. There's going to be tons of knowledge and understanding that will be coming to you. This can only be achieved from this service at the House of Yah. Prophecy, laws of health, and Yematria all added up to one fantastic lesson. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the priest.
To the great queens of the House of Yahweh.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. For those of you who are standing, please be seated. It is a great honor to be speaking to all of you who are watching today. And I would like to start with letting you know that today, a little bit later on in the service, we are going to be blessed with the greatest teacher in the world who is going to be expounding on everything that is taking place at this time and giving you instructions that are from Yahweh's laws themselves, telling us how we are to prepare for what's coming. And the speakers that are going to be following me are going to be also expounding on everything that has been brought forth. So please pay attention to what they're bringing. Take notes, but listen intently to what's being said, because your life definitely does depend on it. And the overseer at the end of this sermon will be giving you the information you need. Now, if I could have my first slide, I was asked to do a search on the Sabbath. And these two books, the pamphlet, Which Day is the Sabbath of the New Testament, this is available on yahweh.com. You can download it free of charge. You can read it at your pleasure. You can read it and learn what the Sabbath actually means in the New Testament. The other book, The Sabbath, Every Question Answered, you can call the office after the feast is over, and they will give you all the instructions you need in order to order this book, because it will answer all your questions. Now, if I could have my second slide, please. I did a Yisrael Says search, and the search that I did was Babel of the Jews. And the eighth book of Yisrael, part one, was one of the results that came up in the search. And it's the eighth book of Yisrael, part one, chapter 23, verse 95. Now, this is Revelations 13:18. And it says, here is wisdom. The mark is exactly opposite from what they're doing now. The mark is the change that Daniel said would take place. Speak against Yahweh, change the feast days and the other laws. Change them, get them out of the way. We want nothing in common with the rabble of the Jews, as Constantine, the Roman Empire, said, who was also noted as a pope of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, if I could have my next slide, please. Now, the second result of this search came from the eighth book of Yisrael, part one. This is chapter 16, verse 127. And it says, the Council of Nicaea. If you want to look that up, it's easily found. We got copies of it in the prophetic word, but you can find it in the encyclopedia. But at that council, the Roman emperor, whose name was Constantine, he told the wise men of that day, we want nothing to do with the rabble of the Jews, so let's do away with the Sabbath day. That's what stopped the Sabbath. It caught on slowly over the years, the history said, and when he changed it to Sunday, the first day of the week, and did away with the Sabbath. Now, can I have my third slide, please? This is the ninth book of Yisrael, part one, chapter 27, verse 28. Later on, he said he wanted nothing in common with the rabble of the Jews. So he changed the laws and he changed the Sabbath. Up until then, the Pharisees held Saturday, the seventh day, as the Sabbath, as the day of rest, up until that time. Then Constantine was the one that said, let us have nothing to do with the rabble of the Jews. So he changed it to Sunday in honor of the sun god. And he said, from now on, this is the law. So if I could have my next slide, please. Now, in 363 AY, the Catholic Church had a council of Laodicea. Now, this was the council where they actually started to implement the change of the Sabbath from the Sabbath day to Sunday. And if you notice the second one, it says, Constantine decrees the day of the sun as a day of rest. This was done in 321 AY. This was before the Council of Nicaea. This is when he became emperor of Rome. He was The third emperor of Rome in this time period of persecution of the Sabbath keepers, he was the lesser of three evils. So when he decreed this law that the Sunday worship is the day of rest. In 325 was the Council of Nicaea when he actually introduced Jesus Christ. If you take 363 and you subtract 321, you get 42. 42 moons. Now, if you go to Revelation 13, 5 to 7, if I can have my next slide, please. It says, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to make war for 42 moons." That means, okay, and then if I can have my next slide, please. I did 42 moons, and this is your homework. I did it in the gematria, and these are the numbers that came up. So if you have a Strong's, look the numbers up and see what comes up. Yahweh willing, I'll be able to bring you more information later on this. Now, if I could have my last slide, please. In Revelations 11, 1 through 3, "And there was given me a reed like a measuring rod, and the Malach stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of Yahweh and the altar and its confines, where they worship. But the court which is outside the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given to the Gentiles. And the holy city they will tread underfoot 3.5 years. And I will give to my two witnesses to perform their prophetic offices, and they will foretell events about the 3.5 years, those cast about in darkness." Please stay tuned and hear more about the last 3.5 years. And with that, I will turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Okay, the Roman Catholic Church has been spreading lies as the first teacher brought out. They changed the Sabbath, they took away the feast days from the people, and they took away the Book of Yahweh. So they have a reputation for lying. And Satan is a teacher of all lies. Satan is their teacher. Now, Pope Francis came out saying that the coronavirus pandemic could be nature's response to climate crisis. That's not true. This plague is from the earth as it's trying to fight off the microbial enemies mankind created by sinning, by rejecting the laws Yahweh gave to protect us, to protect those microbes that support us. Global warming isn't the cause, it's another curse. Who teaches about the real cause of global warming and the real cause of these curses? Yisrael Hawkins, in the book, The Real Cause of Global Warming. And on page 18, on the bottom column, it said, on the bottom of the first column, it says, "Sin produces microorganisms that are enemies to the microorganisms Yahweh created your body and the earth from." So it's because of these weakened microorganisms from fighting off those enemies that we get sick and die. So this coronavirus is a curse, a plague, caused from the sins and the sickness. Leviticus 18, verse 28 says, "The land vomits you out because of the abominations that you've committed." Now, why is the Pope saying this? Why is he putting this on the climate crisis? He wants everyone to believe that this fuel we use in our cars, he wants us to believe that it comes from dinosaurs. They call it the fossil fuel. But that's an obvious lie that should be detected instantly. But the people in the world, they're so confused that they blindly follow these lies. In this last generation, the cause of these plagues has increased. Iniquity has abounded, and so has the confusion of the mind due to the increase of iniquity. So the Pope leads the people to believe that we have exceeded the earth's population limits, and therefore he tells them we need to depopulate the other religions so there's only Catholics left. Even though Yahweh told us that he created the earth for mankind, and he created it to support us. And he told us, be fruitful and multiply. You can see what system the Pope is coming from. He's
he is led by the system that's led by Satan, which promotes death. There's nothing about life in this idea. And his aim isn't to save the planet, not to save mankind, but to resurrect the Roman Empire. But the Roman Empire had sickness, they had curses, they had confusion, and they had death. Curses date back to the very beginning, to the first flood. Burning oil in cars started in this generation, 1934. And the curses were from the very beginning when sin was committed. And so Deuteronomy chapter 28 says, if you do not obey Yahweh, in verse 15 it says, if you do not obey Yahweh your father and do not carefully follow all his laws and his statutes, which I command you this day, then all these curses will come upon you. But for those of us who do practice Yahweh's laws and do keep them perfectly, according to the instructions brought by the house of Yahweh, we are being protected from this plague. Keeping the feast, having the mark of Yahweh, these things protect us. In verse 14 of Deuteronomy 28, if you diligently observe and do all of Yahweh's laws, then you will not turn aside from any of the laws which I command you this day, by going after any god to serve it, you will be blessed. We will be blessed if we keep these laws. And it details that. But the curses, if we don't, are detailed in depth in this chapter. And one of them, in verse 29, you'll grope at noonday like a blind man gropes in darkness. And that's exactly what is going on. And the Pope even said, thick darkness has covered the streets and cities. Yes, the darkness has, because of your sins, because you rejected the only way to life. Continue paying attention. Yahweh bless your feast. And I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Yahweh's peace be with each and every one of you. My title today is Come Out from Among Her. Now, reading from the 16th book of Israel, 19th book of Israel, sorry, part 2, chapter 16, verse 47, Pastor says, there's going to be 10 different religions here. There's going to be this other little one, worthless. That's what that word little means. Little means worthless religion. It can't bring salvation or anything. And so we all know that this worthless religion, the little horn, is referring to the Catholic Church, Catholicism. And they're the ones who are ruling the world in this present time. And all the religions, apart from the house of Yahweh, all of them, they're under her. They're her daughters. And in the first book of Israel, either the first book of Israel or the second book of Israel, Pastor says that both Christianity and Catholicism, they're the same thing. And we have heard that it can't bring salvation to anybody. And I was listening to a sermon, one of the women law class, and the teacher was saying that you can go to church over and over and over again, year after year, but you'll just be as empty as you went. You will just be hopeless as you went. Those people are groping for answers in the dark, but they can't find any. Remember, Why Aren't Your Prayers Answered? That's one of the booklets that if you need your prayers answered, you can write to the house of Yahweh to get it. So they also admit that they're the ones who changed the names and the Sabbath, and that's one of the points that Pastor brought on Sabbath. So I put that in their metria. They admit they changed the names and the Sabbath. And as you can see those numbers there, 381 means a man of might, a valiant man. A man of might, that's like the kings, Yada, the ones that are ruling the world. 2286 is the other number, it means fatal, that is poisonous, deadly. And it's from 2288 means death. 2348, to die. And that's what doing this brings about. It brings about death. Changing the name of Yahweh brings about death. Dying, you will die, and it's a slow death. 1856 means to stab, by analogy to stab. If you remember from 70 AY, when they destroyed the temple, until this generation, that's when the Book of Yahweh was brought back. The people were starving spiritually. And it also means to revile. And also, Yahweh is the only being who can foretell the future. And that's also another one of the points that Pastor brought on Sabbath, and I put that in the Ametria. And 518 means to announce. Pastor announced that, and he has been telling us this over and over, to bring word again. 3108 means blessedness. And 3350, the change of Adob. We know that Pastor also brought on Sabbath that this is your home. This is your home if you're ready to repent, be converted, and believe. If you're ready to repent, be converted, and believe. So I put that in the Ametria, and it means 754 means length, prolonged. And it made me think of Proverbs 3, 1 through 2, which says, "My son, do not forget my laws, but take my instructions to heart. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you." 4524 is the other number. It means just. From 6663, to cleanse, do just, to turn to righteousness. And that's what you do when you convert to Yahweh. 5965, to leap for joy, wave joyously, rejoice. And that's what we do when we come to Yahweh Sabbath and feast this. We rejoice. And if you remember also last Sabbath, Pastor pointed out that how does Yahweh bless the Sabbath? By his presence. His presence is with us here in the Sabbath. So I urge you all, the grass out there is not green. And it's sad when people come here and they see things, but because they have certain expectations, they're offended and they leave. The scripture says that we are small, the house of Yahweh, we are small people, we are humble, and our labor is for the support of Yahweh's work and for the preaching and publishing of the message. And we don't focus on the glitter and glamour like the churches do. Yahweh says our price is far above rubies, and we're worth so much before Yahweh's very eyes. Just remember that. And remember, this is your home if you're ready to repent, be converted, and believe in Yahweh. And with this, I'll turn to the next teacher.
Shalom, everyone. Okay. So we're going to be going over again Yahweh's work set in advance, his prophesied work set in advance, all right? Moshe 3, verse 7, we know that that talks about Yahweh's work was prophesied in advance through his servants, the prophets, and we know that that fact is supported throughout the scriptures. For example, in 2 Kefa 3, verse 2, it says, we remember the words that were previously spoken through the mouths of all of Yahweh's holy prophets and apostles. We can go over to Hebrews chapter 1 on page 943. And Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, if you read that, it says, "Yahweh, who at various times and in different ways spoke in times past to our fathers through the prophets." Yahweh, who at various times and in different ways. He did this thousands of years in advance and in many different ways. And one of the ways that we've been taught, that our great overseer, that he spoke to our fathers and to the prophets was through he himself, through visions. Remember, he sent Yisrael Hawkins in visions to teach them. Verse 2 has, "In these last days spoken to us through his son." We know that's our great high priest, Yahshua Messiah. He's speaking to us through his son, through Yisrael Hawkins, his messenger whom he has sent to establish his house. So we know part of that messenger is one of the two witnesses. And part of the work of the two witnesses is shown in Zechariah 5, 4 and 5. It is described as the two olive trees. Zechariah chapter 6 shows that Yahshua is working with the branch of Yisrael Hawkins. And we know that they're sent with commandment. Sent with commandment means prophesied in advance. I have to laugh because we have this habit of looking around. There's no one to look at, really. But anyhow, it means it was sent with commandment, prophesied in advance. The two witnesses, you know, they were foretold in prophecy to build and establish the house of Yahweh and to separate the way of the world from the way of Yahweh, or the mark of Yahweh from the mark of the beast. Okay? So Isaiah 44, 1 through 8. Let's go there. It's on page 558. Verse 1, yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Yisrael, whom I have chosen. You see there that Yahweh named his two witnesses whom he has chosen. Verse 2, they were formed from the womb, brothers from the same womb. Verse 3, he mentions his seed, which is us, you know. Verse 5, he actually shows how they will be named. Verse 6, Yahweh shows that he is the only source of power. And verse 7, this is Isaiah 44, verse 7, and who as I will foretell and set it in order for me. I want you to remember that. Who as I will foretell and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things which are coming and will come, let them, the two witnesses, foretell them. And verse 8, do not fear nor be afraid. Yahweh says, these are my two witnesses. And we know that only Yahweh has the power to foretell the future, and he can assign that to, for example, his two witnesses whom he has chosen. And he's the only one who has the ability to create, and he's the only one that claims that power. The gods don't have that power. So let's go over to Revelation 11, verse 3, on page 977. And it says, I will give to my two witnesses to perform their prophetic offices, and they will foretell events about the 3.5 years, those cast about with darkness. That's the time period that we're in right now. Foretelling events. That's the same thing that we saw there in Isaiah 44. So let's get our gematria. We did this the last time. We have when is the last days, and we have the number 1074. Honk your horns if you know whose tag number that is. Yisrael Hawkins, nice job. Okay, the next one. When the seventh Malach, seventh trumpeter, last days witness, Yahshua's messenger, the chosen branch speaks. We have 1074, pastor's tag number. That number 7473, can we get our next one? It means, it's from 7462, a shepherd, a companion. When you see these words, remember the prophecies that apply to our last day's witness. To be a friend, a shepherd, to care for the flocks, which is us, an attendant of the groom, a pastor, and a herdsman. Can we get our last gematria? We have there, foretell and set it in order for me. And we have the number 1074 there. Pastors foretelling and setting in order all the events that were put here a little and there a little. And in the Mark of the Beast, chapter 10, part 1, chapter 10, if you're in the book, it's on page 159. Yahweh stands firmly behind his two witnesses to bring to pass the prophecies they foretell, because their power comes from Yahweh. Through his Spirit holy, they are guided into all truth. And we know Isaiah 34:16 says, not one of them will fail. He's going to bring all this to pass. So who's excited to see this last day's Malach come up here and speak? Honk your horns if you're excited. You know, lights flashing and horns honking also has a 322. Horns, I think honking like the sound of a trumpet has a 322 tag to it. So that's our way of saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh when we have services outside. And with this, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now that everything's changed, it seems like I got out of that habit of saying that. Yahweh displays a great deal of unity with all his speakers, because it's like they just line everything up so perfectly. And when it leads up to Overseer, Overseer just ties it all in together. So I'm going to go ahead, and I would also like to touch on about the Roman Catholic Church, because what's interesting is that they're the ones that are leading this great slaughter that's coming upon the whole world. And we have proof in the scriptures that it was also the Pharisees who gave instructions to the Roman soldiers to kill the people of Yahweh, those who kept the Sabbath. And I wanted to go over to Acts 23. And here's Yahshua, and he's telling the Pharisees and Sadducees, who were the priests at that time, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you shut the door of the kingdom of Yahweh in men's faces, for you yourselves will not go in, nor will you allow those who do come to go in. And then in Acts, it shows a great deal about, like, the apostle Shaul, before he was converted, he was one of the soldiers that were leading the crusades against the people of Yahweh. And what's interesting is that once Yahshua had called him out to start doing the work of Yahweh, it shows in Acts 22 that they were persecuting him. And Acts 23, it actually says that the high priest, Chenania, commanded those who stood by him, which were the soldiers, to strike him on the mouth. And then back in 22 verse 29, you can see that he says that he was a Roman citizen. And that's why he was a part of the Roman soldiers, and he was a part of leading the Crusades against the people of Yahweh. And I wanted to point that out because it is a part of their job to, that's their commission, is to lead the slaughter. And you see that pattern throughout the entire scriptures. I mean, everywhere it's backed up. Yahweh does not leave any doubt who's leading the curses. So I wanted to jump right into, because, you know, there's curses that are being brought out by the 4,199 religions, but Yahweh's house, from Yahweh's house, you receive these blessings. So I put, Yahweh inspired this to be put in the Yahmatria. We have blessed you from out of the house of Yahweh. And I want you to notice these numbers. So the first one I want to point out is a 3072, which means Yahweh Sirkenu in the Hebrew. And then when you put that in Yahmatria, we come out to overseer's tag number 1074. And Yahweh Sirkenu, in English, it's Yahweh our righteousness. Praise Yahweh. And 512, showing how much Yahweh is in full control. Then we move on to the next number, which is the 4901. And I want you to write this down. Now, get this. In the Brown Driver and Briggs, we see a drawing up, a trail of seed. And I want you to underline or write down, because it goes to another number in the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, which means to sow and to sound. Write those two words down. In the Greek, in the Thayer's Greek lexicon, it means to attest together with, to join in bearing witness. And you can always bring to mind, as the previous speaker mentioned, Zechariah 6, verse 10 and 11, where the high priest over the house of Yahweh is to behold, and they're going to be working together. And these last days, when overseer establishes the house, because all the prophecies are being fulfilled, he's the one that dedicated it in 82, established it in 83, and the book of Yahweh has been brought back in the last days in 87. Now, for our following Yahmatria, we have Yahweh sows seed. So it's nice how Yahweh just puts it everywhere, just dots it everywhere. Yahweh sows seed is 1074. And the sound to Yahweh, as the previous speaker mentioned, the honking of the horn sounding like a trumpet, is also 1074. And the 1074 in both the Hebrew and the Greek put together is this generation, the first fruits. And that is also, like I said before, is overseer's car tag. And, you know, just to wrap this all up, the only blessings that we receive are coming from out of the house of Yahweh that is established. Like, this is the only established work, bringing back the tree of life and offering back to the people, that was established by Yisrael Hawkins. Nobody else on the face of the earth has fulfilled every single prophecy to the minute detail, and it's sprinkled throughout all the scriptures. And like it says before, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But if you would believe all that the prophets have spoken, there will be no doubt in your mind that this is the last day's generation and the last house established by Yahweh and Yeshua and Yisrael Hawkins. And if you'd all wait for the next speaker, I'll turn it over. Yahweh bless your Sabbath.
Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they had sinned. They had violated Yahweh's laws because they had not kept Yahweh's laws. They were afraid. They were never afraid before because they had not sinned. That was Adam and Eve. But they had sinned, and that's what caused them to be afraid. Please turn over to Isaiah 44, verse 2. This is what Yahweh says. Who made you and formed you from the womb? Who will help you? Do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant, and Yeshurun, beloved Israel, whom I have appointed. Now let's go over to Isaiah right across the page, 45, verse 1. This is what Yahweh says to his anointed for uprightness. Israel is appointed for uprightness, for righteousness, to bring back righteousness so that we can live without fear, that we can live within the laws of Yahweh without sin. As we are turning over to Psalm 91, I would like to ask the first slide to be put up. You see, Psalm 91 and that heading under there says, "Under your shadow, O Yahweh," just the way it's written there on the Yematrias, it's the way it's written in the book. You see that number 3484? That is upright, Yeshurun, an honorable name for Israel. So we see that under Yahweh's shadow is where the overseer sits, and our next Yematria shows us how he can sit there. And we see that he can sit there because he is sinless. He is without sin. He has overcome, and he does not live in sin. So he can go forth with great boldness and strength because he knows that he is under the protection of Yahweh. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We say to Yahweh, "You are our refuge and our fortress. You are our Father, in you we will trust. Surely you will deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. You will cover us with your feathers, and under your wings we do trust. Your truth will be, it is our shield and our buckler." Truth, what is truth? Psalm 119, 142, and 151. Your law, O Yahweh, is the truth. We are not afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 will fall at our side, and 10,000 at our right hand. But Yahweh, you said it will not come near us. Only with our eyes will we see the reward of the fearful and the unbelieving, the wicked. The fearful and the unbelieving, the wicked. David wrote this psalm. Now let's go see why he wrote this and how he could know how to write this psalm this way. In 1 Samuel verse 17 is the story of Goliath. And there was many fearful and unbelieving that were afraid to go up against Goliath. When David found out, he said, "I will do it." So as David stood before Goliath, and Goliath said, "What, am I a dog that you come against me with a stick?" David said to Goliath, "You come against me with a sword, a spear, and a shield, but I come against you with the name of Yahweh Almighty, and you this day will be given into my hand." And he was. He had no fear. He had no doubt. David was not living in sin. So we go to another account of David, chapter 30. It was at Ziklag. The men, they had their camp there, and their women and their children. They had been out from Ziklag, and they were told to go back. They went back only to find Ziklag burned to the ground and the women and the children taken captive. All the men wept, they cried, but they didn't cry out to Yahweh. They talked of stoning David. So what did David do? It said, David found his strength in Yahweh. He turned to Yahweh. And this is what we must do. We must turn to Yahweh. There's some that turn to the world for help, and I don't understand why. If your body is feeling sick, do you call the doctor? Do you go to the hospital and think that a system that has no strength, a system that is broken, can heal you? Did you forget that Yahweh is our Rapha? Yahweh is our healer? Did you forget that your strength is in Yahweh? Did you forget that you made a vow to Yahweh to come here and build the holy house of Yahweh, and yet some will go out and find a job? You would trade the kingdom of Yahweh for a job? You would trade abundant living and everlasting life for a paycheck, an account in a bank? if you've done these things, return to Yahweh. If you've done these things, repent. For Yahweh is our strength. For if you go to the world and you die in the world, you have dishonored Yahweh. And when you are resurrected, what are you going to have? But if you stay in the house of Yahweh, whether you live or whether you die, when you are resurrected, you will have an honorable position. Is it easy? It's not always easy. But we will show Yahweh that He is our strength and He is our shield. As Psalm 91 says, under your shadow where the overseer sits, because he knows that Father Yahweh is his strength. If you are among the fearful and unbelieving, it speaks about you too. It speaks about you in Revelation 21, verse 8. And you will have your place in the lake of fire. Please get out of this world. Come to the house of Yahweh. Make this your habitation, the shadow under which you will sit. And then you will boldly say, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh.
Shalom, everyone. Shabbat shalom. The title of my speech is Behold, Bless Yahweh by Becoming a Blessing. Behold, Bless Yahweh by Becoming a Blessing. I want to start with Matithiah 23:4. Matithiah 23:4, and it says, for they tie up heavy burdens, hard to be carried, and lay them upon men's shoulders, but they themselves would not lift a finger to move them. This is the Catholic Church. This is the priest who eats swine flesh. This is the way, the system that the world is following today. We are going to learn today how to become a blessing. In Mark 11:9-10 and Psalm 134:1-3, I'd like to read these. Mark 11:9-10, and it says, and they went in front, and they who followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. Verse 10, blessed be the kingdom of our father, David, that comes in the name of Yahweh. Hosanna in the highest. So you see, blessed are they who come in the name of Yahweh, and blessed is the kingdom who comes in the name of Yahweh. That is us. We're training for that. Psalm 134:1-3. Behold, bless Yahweh, all you servants of Yahweh who stand in their place in the house of Yahweh. Raise your hands in the sanctuary and bless Yahweh. Yahweh, who made heaven and earth, bless you out of Zion, which is the house of Yahweh. Healing. Healing does not come from the world. These blessings only come out of the house of Yahweh. Yahshua couldn't even do many miracles because of the unbelief of the people. But blessings come out of the house of Yahweh. That's why, as our speaker before me said, we have to put our full trust in Yahweh. I'd like to read from the 10th book of Israel, part 2. This is from 2010. The 10th book of Israel, part 2, chapter 18. And he's quoting Psalm 118 here. And it says, we have blessed you. From what? Where do we bless you? Where do you get your blessings? Pastor asks. It's only from Yahweh's house, brethren. Look at it, that yourself. We have blessed you out of the house of Yahweh. Only. Put the word only there behind it, Pastor says. There's no other place. That was in 2010. We come here and we learn to serve. No, we don't turn our phones off after 5. We're not closed after 5. Pastor told me one time, you're always open. That means you're always ready to serve, right? Right? Always ready to serve. Because we're learning to be a blessing to the whole universe, and we're going to learn that. Pastor always talks about the Sabbath. Have you ever wondered why he so much presses on the Sabbath? In Isaiah 58:13-14, it says that when you learn to keep the Sabbath, that's how you find your true joy. And what do you learn to do on the Sabbath? serve others. You put your own stuff aside and you serve others. In the second book of Israel, this is a way long time ago, in the second book of Israel, chapter 20, verse 36, it says, the 144,000 priesthood will be a blessing to everyone else alive. The 144,000 priesthood to all living flesh and spiritual beings. You will be a blessing to the Malachim also. Ha! That is so amazing. Remember, Pastor said, until, remember the night of Yeshua's memorial? He said, until there's going to be a time when these blessings are going to go out throughout the whole universe, and that's the kingdom of priests. I put in changing of the kingdoms, changing of the crowns. Shares the same numbers again, two out of the three. And we're going to go into some of those. Changing of the kingdoms. Remember, that's when the kingdoms of this world are going to be given to the great saints of Yahweh, who have been trained by our great overseer who teaches us how to serve. The definitions of the words here says 209, a variation of 207. It means strong. That's why we have to be tested, because we have to learn how to become strong, to get that strength in Yahweh so that we trust in him. The next one, 524, corresponding to 523, a nation. From 523 means a collection, that is a community of persons, nation, people. That should bring to your mind a holy nation, the priesthood being a holy nation, a holy nation. The next one, 1254, that next number, 1254. To create, select, feed, choose, create. Yes, we are being selected for a kingdom of priests. How many of you want to be a part of that kingdom? Right? We want to be a blessing to the whole universe. We don't want to be selfish like the gods. We want to be a part of this. I hear the honking. They want to be a part of it out there too. I put in crown of authority, a priesthood, blessing all mankind. The numbers 539, 215, 3234. And 539 in the Hebrew, it means to build up, support, foster as a parent, firm, faithful, trust, 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 establish. Number 215 in the Hebrew, luminous, shine. Remember Daniel 12:3? To give light. Lucifer had this job. We are training for this job. It's so important to bring light to everyone, to bless everyone out of the house of Yahweh. And then we will see, as it says in Isaiah 30, verse 21. Isaiah 30, verse 21. And one day, O righteous priesthood, they're going to say, it's Yahweh says to them, your ears will hear a word behind you from the ones who are blessing from out of the house of Yahweh. Your ears will hear this priesthood saying a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in Yahweh's ways. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left, blessings only come from out of the great house of Yahweh. So become a blessing to others. Learn to serve. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the great priest in Yahweh's house. Praise Yahweh.
What a blessing, what a blessing, I tell you. And this time we get to hear from great deacon Michael Awesome.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Everyone social distancing in their place. And those who can, please be seated. Yahweh's peace be with each and every one of you. We had the joy at Yahshua's memorial about hearing about a very special person who is a representation of the great house of Yahweh in these last days, the great men and women who are striving diligently to bring this message of peace to all the earth and prepare a way for them to have salvation, peace, joy, and understanding. And so, you know, I did this before Feast, this code search, and it's a very special search. And I typed in that woman, and it, of course, it came up. And it was encoded in Yeremia 31:33, and the letters skip, the skip between each letter was 7,076 characters or letters, and it means cinnamon, but it also means upright. Okay, so when I did the search, first thing I put in was her name, and of course it came up 13 times all around that woman. So this is a really beautiful search and a very encouraging search. And at this time of trouble, as it grows more and more and times are getting tougher for the world, and will get tough for us, we have the joy of knowing that we have Yahweh's house and the priest, Yisroel Hawkins, and the great priests and priestesses to lean on for strength and guidance. So let's get into the search. And zoom out. One click out. There you go. Great. Okay. So the search is that woman, and her name came up 13 times all around it. So I just put one in there, and the one that I chose is very interesting because all the other words that came up tied into it. So right here is Nora's name. That's Nora's name right there. Okay, so let's go on to this. Right here, we have accused. Remember, as the song said, she was ridiculed and hated by men and women alike because of their jealousy for her and the position she held at that time under Yahshua's authority, and the position she will hold in this great kingdom that's coming under Yahshua's authority. So she was accused and constantly accused by those who hated her. Okay? Then we have afflicted. Afflicted. But she was amazing. I didn't think to look see if the yod was there, but I'm almost going to bet that it says Yah amazing. But amazing is right there. Okay? She was beloved. That woman was beloved of Yahweh. Right there, we have beloved. And of course, she served at Abel. Abel's right there. Now, the next one, let's jump ahead. At the end of days, at the end of the days, in other words, the last day's work of Yahweh. Then we had pastor's name come up. And if you noticed, pastor's name crosses Nora's name, the one that I chose. I mean, what are the odds of that? I could have chose one over here, but I'll just pick this one to show. But pastor's name, Yisroel, came up crossing Nora's name. And I thought that was really special that Yahweh did that. Okay? Then right here, we have grieving. But while she was grieving, she showed great humility, the word humility right below it. And that's representative of the house of Yahweh and all the tests and trials we need to go through to prove ourselves and remain humble. Humility. Then we have house of Yahweh right there. Down here, which is like I call these down here like the foundation, and it says hurting. And she was hurting for Yahshua, which is right here, Yahshua. And she had extreme loneliness. And right here we have laws of Yahweh. Laws of Yahweh. And then we have one of those $45 words which break an Okie's tongue, which I had to look up. Right here, this long word which crosses that woman. And I may pronounce this wrong. Vituperate. And it means to blame or insult with violent language. And that's what the hypocritical men and women who were jealous of her did. Because of the position she hold and her love for Yahshua and the house of Yahweh. which we are seeing in these last days with the people of Yahweh. Then up here we have the work of Yahweh, Yahweh's work, which she was dedicated to. And notice dedicated crosses Yahshua. Dedicated crosses Yahshua. Okay, then up here we have loved. And she's greatly loved, not only by Yahweh and Yahshua and Yisrael Hawkins, but all of us who see her works that she did. Loved. And it connects to 18, which is Yahweh's work. And she loved Yahweh's work. And right here we have 21, which is served. And served crosses Yahshua also. Served crosses Yahshua's name. And now these next ones are really, really special. Pastor's name, Yisrael, crosses Nora's name. And connected to pastor's name, in like a kind of a V fashion here, is white stone. Connected to both of their names. White stone. We need to be like Nora. We need to be like Yisrael Hawkins, like Yahshua, like the many holy women of old and men of old who were diligent and strong. We need to be an example. Some other words that were found were weariness, aching, childless, despair, Abilene, forgiveness, giving, humble, branch, brave, brightness, magnificent, prophetic, and upright. She was and will always be an example to the house of Yahweh and how we need to be, not only towards this great work which we love, but towards Yahweh, Yahshua, Yisrael Hawkins, and each other. So with that, y'all have a wonderful Sabbath. It's been a wonderful feast. Look forward to many more great code searches coming this feast. So I have the honor and privilege to turn it over to a great priest in Yahweh's house, the great Kohen Benjamin Krauss Hawkins. Shabbat shalom. You that are in your sunroofs can sit. Yahweh's peace be with everyone that's both here and scattered abroad throughout the world. Okay, if we could put up the title slide, I'll get right to it. All right, now I'm going to make crystal clear today something that Pastor told us the last time he spoke, that we're not waiting for Yahweh to float down here on some cloud from outer space, okay? Yahweh's here right now. We're going to prove it without any doubt. Let's start out with the first, actually, let's look at this title slide. I'm sorry, I'm trying to get this myself together here. Okay. Let's look at the title here on this slide. It says 2 Chronicles 7:16, "For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, so my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually at the time of Yahweh's ordained weekly Sabbaths and feast days." And this house that he's talking about is the house of Yahweh. Now notice when you put it in 2 Chronicles 7:16, where this is quoted from, you'll see the number 1962. Well, 1962 is when this last day's work began with the two witnesses preaching in Eastland, Texas on the radio show. Also, you notice today's date, Yahweh 17, is 1074, okay? Yahweh's going to show today on this special day that he is with us here at this time, at this feast, and that we have nothing to fear. Okay, can we have the next slide? Okay, so I've shown this a few times, but I'm going to read this again. This is the quote from the 16th book of Israel, verse chapter 40, verse 111. It says, "Let's see. Well, known long before, this revelation seems to emphasize that the same Yahweh who made the covenant was the Father who kept the covenant." They give Exodus 3:14. It's more than a simple statement of identity. Exodus 3:14 is where he says, "I am Yahweh." They give this scripture here. Exodus 3:14 is more than a simple statement of identity. I am that I am.
It is a declaration of divine control, a declaration of divine control of all things. What did my dream tell me? Y'all remember that? Remember his dream on 5/12/15? When I read this, I almost flipped. You remember I was driving a car with people in it and nowhere to go except the ocean in front of me, and then the brakes went out. Then the car stopped on its own and Yahweh gave me the words, I'm in total control, and we see it in the writing. Praise Yahweh, applause. And when you put that exactly the way it is in the books of Israel there, you'll get 5/12/15, which read forward and backward, a palindrome, gives the date of Pastor's dream that Yahweh showed he was in full control. Okay, now let's go to the next slide, because we want to know, there's a big question. There's a trillion, I don't know, infinite question. Where is Yahweh right now today? You see that in Yematria? Let's find out. It's the first number is 336, and it says where? It's a question. Where? Origin. Like, where has he been from the beginning? Where? 2016. Now, if you remember, 2016 is when Pastor was issued two tag numbers, 322 and 1074. One from the state of Texas, one from the state of Arkansas. The 1074 from Texas. It's also a time when they changed the law that you don't have to renew your tags every 7 years. So Pastor was given a forever tag in 2016. But 2016 means a turn. Turn things around. To change. Turned over. Like this turning over of the kingdoms that started all the way back when Pastor started preaching. To restore. To be converted. To come. To turn back. 2016 in Greek means to show forth. To appear. To bring to light. To come clear, become clearly known, become visible or known, to give light, to give Yahweh's laws to this earth. Okay, now this next one, 4168, in Hebrew means a burning mass or burning. Now, you're going to find out that that's not talking about nuclear war. That's talking about a burning bush that you're fixing to see. 4168 in Greek means a little flock. A flock, or figuratively, a group of believers. From 4168, a flock or fold, from 4165, to act as a shepherd, to tend, to govern, to rule, tending sheep, caring, supervisor. From 4166, a shepherd, protector, ruler of a flock of men and women. And look at that. Pastor. Pastor. Right? Pastor. Pastor. That's probably the one that Pastor will like the most. But this is talking about, it's alluding to, you remember the story of Moshe in the Exodus in chapter 3, where Moshe was tending a flock. Let's go to the next slide, because we're going to show where that burning bush is. You see it? See that bush burning? There's the house of Yahweh. Burning bush, the house of Yahweh, 1962. Okay? Now, but let's look at these other numbers. 327 means royal in the Hebrew. In the Greek, it means to seek. Remember, to seek out the house of Yahweh? Carefully search for. Seek out the book of Yahweh. You know, it says search out that last one there. Isaiah 34:16, search out the book of Yahweh. Seek the house of Yahweh through prophecy. It means to persistently seek, determine seeking, looking, etc. 1962, if you remember, ties into 1933 when Pastor was conceived in his mother's womb. And 1933 means to breathe. And it's from 183, which was the number of that highway over there in Romney, when in 1961 he was preaching at that Romney church just over here in the east. And it's also from 1961, that's the year that he was preaching in Romney, which we're going to eventually get to, I hope. It means to incline, to desire, to crave, craving, long, great desire, lust after. That's 183, actually. And 1961 means to be, become, administer, help, apply, followed, running, serve, waited, help. Speaking about this administration that Yahweh's setting up in these last days, this help that the world is going to need, that all of us have been training for. And hopefully, as we heard before,
You know, I hope we're not putting our stock in this world at all, because there's no hope in this world. You know, we've been training for a kingdom here, right here at the house of Yahweh, for a position, an eternal position. Okay, now 1962 in the Greek means to consent. Consent means agreement and unity, and that's what we need to come to at the house of Yahweh. We need to come to unity with Yahweh and his laws. The house of Yahweh doesn't need to come to unity with us. We need to come into unity with the house and our great overseer. Okay, now 1962 is the beginning of the last day's work of Yahweh. That's opposing Babylon. Remember Zerubbabel, the opposing of Babylon. And the third number, 2522, it means to prostrate, which means to lay oneself flat on the ground, face downward, especially in reverence or submission. And that's talking about when we come to the house of Yahweh, we need to be, you know, seeking answers, not giving answers. Okay, we didn't come here to teach other, to teach the teacher. We came here to learn from the greatest teacher in the world. And we need to submit to Yahweh's laws. Let's look at the next slide. Okay, now this is from Acts 7:30, word for word. It says, when 40 years had passed, a Moloch of Yahweh appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. Okay, now this is speaking about Moshe. Stephen was given this narration in Acts chapter 7, and he's talking about Moshe. If you notice that number, 1074. Okay, a Moloch appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush. 1074, if you remember, goes to the word first fruits in Hebrew. And in the Greek, it's the word race, family, generation. I'm not talking about a race as in color, but this race that we're running, this family, this generation, offspring, family, nation, kind, countrymen, stock. And it goes to words, now listen to this closely, from 1096, it means to join. Joined, remember, coming to unity, joining in this work, okay, decided, developing, grown, results, behaved, performed. This is talking about our growth in the house of Yahweh and performing these laws and behaving appropriately. Reached a certain point, turned, meaning converted, turns, proved, accomplished, be finished, be showed, be married. Remember, we're being prepared for Yahshua to be married to Yahshua, this house. And then 1074, remember, is the eternal tag number of Israel Hawkins and the family of Yahweh that's here at this feast. That second number, 6444, it's used in Psalm 118:22. 6438 goes to 6444, and it means cornerstone. Okay, remember, the cornerstone of the house of Yahweh is who? Yahshua Messiah, working together with our great overseer. The third number, 6930, means, it's from 6923, and it means to flee, to go, hasten to come, or be in front, come to meet, come before, meet for help. Okay, now this is talking about coming in front of Yahweh at the house of Yahweh here at the city of Israel that's been established in these last days. This is the only place on earth that Yahweh's present at this time. Can I have my next slide? Now, here's an amazing coincidence. I put in all those the meanings I just read you. Everything I just read you in the Yematria, you get the number 34991, cut out that one at the end, and it's 3499 means it's the word Yether. It means preeminence, remnant, from 3498, to remain over, have preeminence, preserve, prosper you abundantly, leave a remnant, remain, spare, surviving. Yes, we're the remnant that's surviving, but we're going to survive this nuclear war as well. And notice here, it's from that word Yether is the word, see, 3503 is Yethro. Yethro was the teacher of Moshe, remember, that Moshe went to be taught at the burning bush, the house of Yahweh? See, it says 3503 Yethro, see Hebrew Yether. So see, it's the same number with the same meaning there, okay? Tying it in to Yethro, the teacher that Moshe went to in his time period at the house of Yahweh, the burning bush, at Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai. Have you been looking for Mount Sinai? Well, let's see where it is. Can I have the next slide? Mount Sinai, the house of Yahweh, 1962. Okay? You don't need to look anymore. You're here. Okay? So 327, again, means royal, and it means to carefully seek for, in Greek, to seek, carefully search for. Remember, not looking like seeking Hiawatha or whatever, but seeking through scripture, through prophecy, searching out the book of Yahweh and finding out where is the house of Yahweh. Okay, and then Hebrew 1962, remember it means about the opposing of Babylon began in 1962. But let's look at 24:13. It means sacred because associated with Yahweh's sanctuary, the temple. They call it the temple. We call it the house of Yahweh. It means a sacred thing, holy, set apart, a temple, or as we know it to be, the house of Yahweh. Okay? And remember, the house of Yahweh is not a building, although we have a building. It's a body of believers that are gathered here right now, and those that are tuned in, watching at this time, that will be with us very soon. Let's go to the next slide, because we're going to look at the text of Exodus 3:14 and 15. It says, Yahweh, this is what Moshe was told. He said, go to them and say, Yahweh has sent me to you. Yahweh also said to Moshe, this also shall you say to the children of Israel. Yahweh, the heavenly father of your fathers, the mighty one of Abraham, the mighty one of Isaac, and the mighty one of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial, the name by which I'm to be remembered by from generation to generation for all generations. You put that in your matria, okay? The first number you see is 3616 from 3615. Keep that number 3615 in your mind. You're going to see it in the next slide, proving who he sent. 3615 means to be complete, at an end, finished, accomplished, brings to pass, ends, finishes. Keep that in mind. 2216 is the second number, notice, and it's Zerubbabel in both Hebrew and Greek. Well, who is Zerubbabel? It's he who opposes Babylon, that began preaching opposing Babylon in 1962. That Yahweh told you in Zechariah 4:9, he said, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands will also finish it. Finish it. And you will know that Yahweh of hosts has sent me to you. Now, if you read the footnote there in Zechariah 4:9, it says, Zerubbabel, prophet who is sent by Yahweh. Prophet who is sent by Yahweh is 1962. That's when Pastor and the two witnesses began preaching. Remember? Opposing Babylon. I don't know how it could get any clearer than that, but let's make it even more clear. Go to the next slide, please. Notice the Yematria. Yahweh sent Yisrael Hawkins, okay? Notice, 322, that's Pastor's tag number in these last days, issued in 2016. And it means, in the Hebrew, backward, turned away, back again. In the West, it means time to come, the West, in the Western lamp. The seventh work that we're a part of in these last days, right here, right now. Strong's Greek 322 means to lift up and show forth, to appoint, to exhibit, to indicate and show forth. Now that 1932, I hope we'll get further in the feast, we'll get more into this, but it means, in the Greek, it means forbearance and kindness, forbearing and patience. That's what Yahweh's showing right now by sending us this witness in these last days, even as Noah preached in his day during the forbearance of Yahweh, the patience of Yahweh waiting for us to repent. That's what he's waiting for us to turn from our sins. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Now, 3615, I told you to remember that number on the last page. Notice, it's in that Yematria right there, proving who he sent to finish this work. 3615, remember, means to be complete, at an end, accomplished, finishes. Okay, who finishes it? Yisrael Hawkins, Zerubbabel. Okay, it should be very plain. Okay, now 3615 in the Greek means belonging to the household, member of a household. From 3614, a house, dwelling, household, home, a family. Remember, this is what we are. We're the family of Yahweh right here. established in, you know, started in 1962, this family right here. A house, a dwelling, a family, a lineage. Remember the number 1074? It means this very thing. Lineage, nation, the holy nation. Remember, that's what we are. We're a holy nation. At the place Yahweh chose to place his name in these last days. And no, it's not a temple. They call it a temple. It's the house of Yahweh. And notice, we're all under the one cent. Look, in who we trust there in the right. That's from Passover 2010. Okay, is that not proof enough? Are you ready for some more proof? That Yahweh is here right now at this place. Okay, go to the next slide, because I'm going to remind you of something that I've shown already. When you take pastor's tag numbers that were issued in 2016, that I told you about earlier, you take the letters and the numbers, UTT 322 and GMK 1074, you get 61 plus 322 plus 31 plus 1074, and it equals 1488. 1488 in Strong's Greek is from 1510, and it means I exist, I am. I am, I exist, Yahweh, 1074. You see that? But let's look at some more proof. Can I have my next slide? Exodus 3:14, where Yahweh says, I am. Remember that? When you add up all the numbers there, 248, 1488, which is all the pastor's tag numbers together, and then the 1333, you get 3069, which means in Strong's Hebrew, Yahweh. Okay. So let's look at some more proof. Go to the next slide. Acts 7:33. This is what Stephen was narrating. He said, then Yahweh said to him, Moshe, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand, the place where you stand, place where you stand, 1488, is holy ground. Remember the holy ground. This is the pillar and ground of the truth right here that you're sitting in, the house of Yahweh. 1488, again, from 1510 means I exist, I am. That's speaking of Yahweh. Go to the next slide, please. Let's look at more proof. In Acts 7:35, it says, this Moshe whom you rejected, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge, is the one Yahweh sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the Moloch who appeared to him in the bush. The Moloch who appeared to him. Notice, 1488, all of pastor's tag numbers added together. And again, from 1510, I exist, I am, Yahweh. Go to the next slide, please. Remember Psalm 118:26. Blessed be he who comes in the name of Yahweh. We have blessed you out of the house of Yahweh. Notice Psalm 118:26, 1962. What a coincidence, right? And let's look at that number 2419. It means Jerusalem. Jerusalem means foundation of peace, or the city of the priest who teaches peace. We'll see in just a moment. Notice Jerusalem, the foundation of peace, 322, pastor's tag. Let's go to the next slide. I'm almost done. Now, this is a quote from the 15th book of Israel, chapter 33, verse 12. Pastor says, verse 8, and I will bring them, and they will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. That word Jerusalem means at Abel. According to Jastro, it means Abel. Notice you put that in the Gematria, you get 1074, pastor's tag. You also get 8016, which means shalom, to make an end, finish, be at peace, make peace, peaceable, restore, reward. Go to the next slide. Let's look at he who comes in the name of Yahweh. 1488 again. That's all the pastor's tag numbers added together. And 1488 is from 1510, and it means I exist, I am, that's Yahweh. Is he who comes in the name of Yahweh? 322, pastor's tag. This is the one that Yahweh sent in Yahweh's authority. He has Yahweh's authority. Now, my final question, and I think I already answered it. Can I have my final slide? You see this? It's not actually a question. This is a statement. Yahweh is here right now. 1488, all the pastor's tag numbers added together, 1488 from 1510, I exist, I am Yahweh. And at this time, it's been a great honor if everyone would give reverence and honor to the next priest, the great Kohen Yehuda Hakan.
Shalom, everyone. It will please, wherever you are, we are glad you are here. And we are glad that you are wanting to serve Yahweh. Everybody who has a book of Yahweh, turn to pages 3 and 5. I mean, not 4, but 3 and 5. We're going to look at some scriptures in these. And if you have a Bible, turn to Genesis chapters 4 and 6. Oh, book of Yahweh too, of course. I have a lot to cover, so we're going to have to move pretty quick. The first scripture we need to look at is Genesis 4:15. That's 4 verse 15. Now, that I have it here as it is in a, translation. And Yahweh said to him, it is established, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And Yahweh set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. One commentary said he actually got branded like a calf. But anyway, the word killed that is written in Genesis 4:15 is translated from the Hebrew word harag. This word is listed on page 372 of a Hebrew and Kali lexicon to the Old Testament, but Julius first, which shows this word means to murder, to kill, to shed blood for no intelligent reason, if there ever was one. The word Cain, that is part of the clause, whoever kills Cain, that is written in Genesis 4:15, is translated from the Hebrew word Cain. This word is listed on page 657 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means a weapon, like a spear or a lance or a longbow. And of course today, guns, nuclear weapons, and so forth. The word vengeance will be taken upon him. The words vengeance that will be taken upon him that are written in Genesis 4:15 are translated from the Hebrew word yakam. This word is listed on page 933 of volume 1 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jasser, which shows this word means judgment. It also is said in some books it's called retaliation. Does Yahweh try to get back at anyone? Does anyone really believe that? The word sevenfold that is written in Genesis 4:15 is translated from the Hebrew word shabotim. This word is listed on page 1337 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means the judgment Yahweh has announced will come to pass, like the book of Revelation. The word and that is part of the sentence, and Yahweh set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him, that is written in Genesis 4:15, is translated from the Hebrew conjunction wa. This word is listed on page 233 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means for. The word set, that is written in Genesis 4:15, is translated from the Hebrew word yasham. This word is listed on page 786 of Yesenia's Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Samuel Trogelis, which shows this word means to attribute guilt. The word lest anyone should find him and kill him are such translations. In Genesis 4:15 is translated from the Hebrew word labatali. I think I got that. Labalati. Sometimes the pronunciations are a little bit fun. This word is listed on pages 86, 88, 400, and 407 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word is actually a Hebrew compound word composed of Hebrew article of negation, la, in other words, no or negative, and the Hebrew word balati, which have been combined into one word. In other words, they put these two words together. The Hebrew article of negation, la, that is part of the Hebrew compound word la balati,
that is written in Genesis 4:15 of Trent is listed on page 425 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows this word, although its usual meaning is not, is in the situation being used to introduce a question where the answer is already known to be an affirmative yes. The Hebrew word balati that is written, that is in the second part of the Hebrew compound word labalati, that one, I finally got it, that is written in Genesis 4:15 is listed on pages 206 to 207 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius I, which of this word is a form of the Hebrew word bala, which means to destroy. The word anyone that is written in Genesis 4:15 is translated from the Hebrew word kal. This word is listed on page 466 of Gesenius Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon by Edward Robinson, which shows this word means everyone. So this is what Genesis 4:15 is saying. And Yahweh said to him, it is established. Whoever murders with the weapon, the judgment Yahweh has promised will come upon him. For Yahweh had found Cain guilty of the murder of his brother Abel. Yahweh is asking this question now. Does not he who destroys and seeks to murder everyone he finds not have, does not this individual have the mark of the beast? And of course, the answer to that is yes. They are for war always, as it is written in the Psalms. Now, please turn to Genesis chapter 6. We're going to look at Genesis 6:11-13 first, about what we're talking about, the mark of the beast. Genesis 6:11-13, we'll go through it real quick, and then we want to look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 3 behind it. The earth was corrupt. Now, that's on page 5 of your book of Yahweh, Genesis 6, verses 3, 11 through 13. We're going to look at 11 through 13 first. The earth also was corrupt before Yahweh, and the earth was filled with violence. In other words, it was one big brawl. So Yahweh looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And Yahweh said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. I will destroy them with the earth. In other words, okay, I made this thing. I'm going to burn it up and get rid of it. Sounds like a lot of love in Yahweh, doesn't it? Well, that's not exactly what was said. The word earth that is written in Genesis 6, 11 through 13 is translated from the Hebrew word aratz. This word is listed on page 89 of Gesenius Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon by Edward Robinson, which shows this word means the earth, the universe, the inhabitants of the living on the earth. It also says the exact same thing in the Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I. The word I that is written in Genesis 6:13, verse 13, is translated from the Hebrew word hanani. This word is listed on page 199 of the analytical Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means they. The words will destroy that are written in Genesis 6:13, verse 13, are translated from the Hebrew word mashakatam. This word is listed on page 710 of the analytical Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means to corrupt something or someone to be corrupted. So this is what is actually being said in Genesis 6, verses 11 to 13. It's not saying Yahweh is going to kill or destroy anything. But he did say this, all life was corrupt before Yahweh, and all life was filled with violence. So Yahweh looked upon all life, and indeed it was corrupt, for all mankind had corrupted all life, the way on earth. In other words, they messed everything up. And then Yahweh said to Noah, the end of all mankind has come before me, for all life is filled with violence through them. That's mankind. And they, mankind, have corrupted themselves with all life. Now, that's what you saw in Genesis 4:15 and Genesis 6, verses 11 to 13. Mankind has corrupted everything. Because other than the house of Yahweh, everything is a big, filthy mess. That's why we should all be so thankful to be here and out of that mess. But look at Genesis 6, verse 3. This is where the story starts being concluded. We know man has messed everything up, listening to Lucifer, Hillel, Mephistopheles, or Satan, whatever name I guess that she likes being called. But anyway, Genesis 6 verse 3 says this, and Yahweh said, the men of this world will never subject themselves to my word, the law and the prophets, for they're indeed carnally minded. In other words, they don't care about anyone but themselves. Thus, their day shall be 120 years. Now, it looks like it means, well, people were living to be 900 years old back in those days. Well, that's the end of that, Jack. You'll be blessed if you get 120. Actually, later on, it said that the standard would be 70. But let's look at this. The word never, that's the word never in this verse, is translated from the Hebrew article of negation, la. This word is listed from page 720 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament Julius First, which shows this word means unless. The words subject themselves that are in Genesis 6, verse 3 are translated from the Hebrew yadun, Hebrew word yanun. The Hebrew word yadun. My tongue got too fast there. There's a lot of information about about this word that is written in several Hebrew dictionaries and lexicons. Gesenius in Hebrew, Chaldee Lexicon by Everett Robinson, page 218, shows this word means to subject. Words number 3036 in the Hebrew Dictionary of the New Strong's Expanded Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible shows this Hebrew word yadun traces back to the Hebrew root word yad. The Hebrew and Aramaic Lexicon of the Old Testament by Coley Ilarim Gomgarter, volume 2, page 388, shows this word, the root word yad, means instruction. A Hebrew and English lexicon of the Old Testament by Brown, Driver, and Briggs, pages 389 and 391, then shows this Hebrew word, root word yad, and its derivative yadun, means a priest, and also speaks of the two witnesses testified in Zechariah 4, verse 12, and a Revelation 11, verses 3 and 4. So this is the meaning that is being brought, the message, by Genesis 6, verse 3. This is not just part of the Torah, it's a prophecy. And Yahweh said, the men of this world will never subject themselves unless they are instructed in my word, the Lord prophets, by my priests, my two witnesses, for they are indeed carnally minded. Thus their day shall be 120 years. You just heard who the two priests and the one that teaches peace is. But it was written as early as Genesis 6, verse 3 in the scriptures. But that is what it is. Man corrupted themselves like a disease. Yahweh said there's an antidote. It's not a pill or a shot. Well, maybe some of the other religions like the churches think that it's a bitter pill. But for us, the antidote to all this is the house of Yahweh. Yahweh, I bless your understanding. And I turn the service over to the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. I'd like to encourage everyone, if you have never read completely or if you've never obtained our books, The Mark of the Beast, Volume 1 and 2, please do so immediately. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. The things, the information you need that Pastor is speaking about to help catch you up to understand what's going on was written many, many, many years ago. And that information has been out there for everyone to partake of, but the time to partake of it is running out. Please acquire this information. And it'll tell you, write down for your notes, Revelation chapter 6 and verses 6 through 8. And remember, hurt not the oil and the wine and the diseases, the pestilence and this hunger that's brought forth is due to mankind. When you're watching these coronavirus updates, when you're seeing the things that they're talking about, what do you see them concerned about the most? The economy and the oil. And we start off with the oil where Russia and Saudi Arabia trying to come to an agreement in principle. Now, they said they have it in principle, but there's been no signing of an agreement because Russia, once again, is trying to escape the petrodollar. They're trying to get away from the American dollar because that's where sanctions come from. That's where America, this beast that works along with the Vatican in these last days, a governmental ruling system, that's where they can sanction countries that don't comply with what they ask them to do. Well, Russia wants to escape that. They know if they can get away from that dollar, they can escape these sanctions, but they're learning it's a very impossible task. Well, why is Saudi Arabia so loyal to it? Well, Saudi Arabia needs to sell oil. They're a country that's oil-driven. They don't have much to offer outside of oil, and America has paved the way for them to sell their oil and make much, much wealth. And you'll see where they say Saudi Arabia, that to produce oil is $2.80 a barrel. That's next to nothing. But Saudi Arabia, to balance their budget, needs to sell it at $83 a barrel. Now, that's not due to the needs that the people have in Saudi Arabia. That's due to the wants that people have in Saudi Arabia. The lavish lifestyles, the things that your average person would never dream of, they become addicted to it. And it's very easy to become addicted to living like the gods. Yahweh doesn't say do that. Yahweh says come out from amongst them. But sin is an addiction, and it's something you have to work at getting out of your life. And then we go into the farmers and the food right now. And if you remember, they have lines lined up for miles at food banks. They're saying they're running out of food at the food banks. But watch where you see there's farmers. One man has a tomato farm, and he says that he's going to have to leave 60 to 70,000 cases of tomatoes out in the field. Then you see a man who's a dairy farmer, and he's literally shooting a whole vat, thousands of gallons of milk down the drain. Why? Because that, well, we don't have the system. Now, I'm not blaming these farmers. These farmers produced the crop. They did their part. Where's the transportation to get this food to the people? I hate to say it this bluntly, but there comes a time where you have to say the hell with making money and start serving the people. That's what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what this world does not comprehend that Yisrael Hawkins has been bringing for years. This love of money is a root of evil. You have the farmer with the tomato says, I can't get my tomatoes out because I don't have the workers. We should have an abundant amount of people sitting at home right now that are capable of working. We have to start using common sense, or for the world, it would be known as the laws of Yahweh, the laws of Yahweh, to implement these things. And then, of course, you have the domestic violence. They say with everybody being locked up, everybody being quarantined, domestic violence is at an all-time high. And Pastor brought this years ago where they were actually talking about when they lock people up during snowstorms, and not literally lock them up, but they can't get out, or during their holidays when they all come together, of course, the domestic violence cuts up. And they're seeing that now. It's on the rise with domestic violence because people are there every day with each other, and there's no law, there's no love, there's no compassion that has been taught. It's not the people's fault. It's the leading religion's fault. It's the governmental's fault. The ones that lead the religions, these governments that are led by religions, you know, and sometimes you wonder if leaders actually see this, because it seems like they feel compelled to help, but they just don't know how. And that's what the House of Yahweh is here for, to give direction. Of course, you have, they're putting lots of money, and you'll see this in the news also with hospitals. Trying to drive people, if you feel like you have corona, go to the hospital. And then the hospital's saying, whatever you do, don't come to the ER, don't come here. You know, go to this place and we'll test you. You're going to a place that they call it refuge, but they're scared to death of this stuff. They don't want it. The people working there don't want it. Watch and see what they have to say. Watch and see what the doctors are saying. We don't have any answers for this. You have to remember what was written in Romans chapter 1 and verse 25. Instead of serving Yahweh, they went and served the creation rather than the creator. And if you look at the side note for that scripture, it says that they would obey man, but they wouldn't obey Yahweh. You know, Eve went to a doctor one time, and the doctor said, you can do whatever you want to. You're not going to die. If you do, come back, see me. You'll just be like a god, and all the gods will perish. You know, the only person that's ever been raised from the dead served Yahweh. The hospitals have never kept anybody from dying, and they never will. They don't have the power. And remember Satan's laboratories. Remember what she does. She manipulates and she tries to get back that power of bringing life, and she can't do it. Well, you're going to see Governor Cuomo, due to the hospitals, they're trying to fill them up. There's one more thing he says that we need in New York. We need a massive amount of funeral directors. People are dying faster than we can process the bodies. I think that people in the hospital generally go to work there hoping that they can help someone. And one day when the law of Yahweh is taught and the cleansing process is taught, they will learn the proper way and they'll probably have a really deep love for that job. And they'll serve in that job once they're showed how to do it. So there's no fault being blamed on those workers. The fault's blamed on the religious leaders that still refuse to follow Yahweh and they want the world to serve them because they want to be gods. They want to be as original sons of Yahweh. Well, you're going to hear the nurse in the closing news that says it best. I think we've just made a big mistake. At this time, if we could please go ahead and play the news. At this time, if everyone around the world could please stand, and those of you that it's outside, get your horns ready. At this time, we present to you Yahweh's seventh Malach, the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh! You hear them trumpets blowing out there? That is a beautiful sound. Yahweh bless you. Those that are here can be seated, and we'll get a little further into understanding this. I got to get these to Yahweh only. Praise Yahweh. Let's see, where do I want to start here this morning? Yahweh bless each and every one of you that is hearing my voice out there. The scripture says, blessed is he that reads. The only way you can be, this is not just talking about reading, it's talking about explaining. That word read, it actually means explain, teach, make others to understand, which is assigned. It's assigned in prophecy by Yahweh himself, written by his sacred prophets who lived according to his laws. So Yahweh was able to work with them and let them write things for us. A written contract for his house in the last days. That's what the book of Yahweh is. You need to keep in mind on all of these, all this information during the feast and somewhat after the feast, keep in mind that Yahweh is finishing his plan and making man in his perfection. At this time, through his house, that's his kingdom here on earth, that he is forming into his own likeness and image. Yahshua was the firstborn of many brothers. Yahshua, if you have a King James Version, I'll try to quote both that and then the book of Yahweh each time. But if you have a King James Version, John 5:27, Yochanan was his name, but they remember the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church under Constantine, of course, and a few others that ranked along with him down through the years, actually had the name Yahweh and Yahshua replaced. You'll find this in Unger's Bible Dictionary, and who says that the name Yahweh should have never been replaced, meaning it was replaced with words such as Lord and God. And of course, that is deceiving, and we have people worshiping gods instead of Yahweh, and the gods are evil. Genesis 3:5, evil like the gods. Read it over and over till you understand that. But Yahshua, our high priest, he was prophesied to come and die. He was prophesied to be perfect. He kept Yahweh's laws without sinning. That's the prophecies that describe this man before he was born, thousands of years before he was born. And he came, fulfilled the prophecies, and rightly accepted this position as high priest over the house of Yahweh before the house of Yahweh was established. The house of Yahweh was not prophesied to be established until the last days. The last days, Micaiah 4, verse 1 through 3. Verse 1 says, but in the last days, Yahshua in Matthew 24, verse 29, well, the whole chapter is dealing with the last days. The end, as verse 3 says, the end is the last 3.5 years that we're in right now, according to Daniel the prophet of Yahweh. The end is prophesied to be destruction. The last 3.5 years of the 7-year peace plan that was signed with Rabin in 1993, I prophesied that myself from the prophet Daniel and the other prophecies in the scriptures. I wrote it in the book, The Mark of the Beast, and showed you that it was going to be confirmed with a man named Rabin. In 1993, Bill Clinton, Yasser Arafat, and Rabin signed that 7-year peace plan. 1993. I wrote about it in 76. It's in the book, The Mark of the Beast. Yahweh tells us in advance, and then he has his high priest over the house of Yahweh bring it about by inspiration through his house. He says, you've got to believe Yahweh. You've got to believe the one sent. That was Yahshua through prophecy. And then you got to believe the one that Yahshua, the high priest, sent through prophecy. He cannot do anything, he said, on his own. He does what is written for him to do, what Yahweh wills. He upholds the will of Yahweh, as the house of Yahweh does. Well, in Yochanan 5:27, he says, Yahshua, because Yahshua is the Son of Man. If he wasn't a son of man, if he was a son of a god, he wouldn't fit this. He was the Son of Man because he is the Son of Man. He's been given, he qualified for, and was given this authority to become the high priest over the house of Yahweh, and all judgment for mankind now is given to him. And it's given to him because he is the Son of Man that fulfilled the prophecies. That should be simple enough for you preachers to understand out there. I'm speaking to today. This is quite an audience, over 4 million. That's right, over 4. In fact, it's almost 5. 4.8 million viewers. 4.8 million. That is a lot of people that's hearing. If this service is not like any other any other religions on the face of the earth. It's according to the scriptures. It was prophesied many years before it started. It was prophesied when it would start. Yahweh didn't leave out anything. And then he backs it up with the Yamatrix, which he put secretly in the Hebrew language that he gave to Abel and to Abraham, and now has made it possible in these last days, to his two witnesses. Because he is the Son of Man, not the Son of a God, but the Son of Man. Son of Man, Genesis 1:26, I will make man, not gods. He tried that. He gave them authority. They left their first estate, and now they're teaching people to follow lies, like Santa Claus came down the Christmas tree, came down the chimney and set up a Christmas tree and went all over the world one night. Tomorrow they'll be chasing or trying to find eggs and lying to their children, trying to find eggs that the Easter goddess laid. I guess the Easter goddess must be some kind of hen, something to lay eggs. She lays colored eggs, by the way, and the preachers go around hunting them. You know, this is a stupidity that we see in the religions today. Not factual prophecies, not the fact that you need to become righteous and stop your wars, not that you need to keep the righteous laws of Yahweh. Yeshua said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness. Well, they did away with both. All the preachers, 4,199 religions out there, and none of them practice righteousness. None of them do anything that the Bible says, but they claim to follow the Bible. They're all liars. That's what your Bible calls them. Write down and read 1 John, if you have a King James Version, 1 Yochanan, if you have a book of Yahweh, 1 John 2:4. He that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Blessed are those, this is the last book in your Bible, blessed are those, Revelations, last chapter also, blessed are those, Revelation 22:12 shows it's the Savior doing the speaking, and he says, blessed are those that keep his commandments. They have right to the tree of life. Where does that put all you other preachers? Now, if I've got your attention out there, Yeshua, he holds a position right now as judge. He's over. He himself is put, all judgments are given unto him. He's high priest, where? Over the house of Yahweh. Hebrews 10:21. Your King James Version will say, house of the Lord. They've removed the name Yeshua. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. That's Acts 2. No other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. They took it out of the scripture. Yes, this was the Roman Catholic Church that came from the 12 tribes, that came from the Coptic Catholic Church. The Coptic Catholic Church in Egypt, yes, brought it with them. Well, 1 Corinthians 6 shows us that this house of Yahweh, Yeshua is the firstborn into it by keeping Yahweh's laws, fulfilling the prophecies. He's the firstborn of many sons and daughters. Praise Yahweh. Horns honking, that's trumpets blowing. Sons and daughters. 1 Corinthians 6:18. I believe that's Romans. No, 1 Corinthians 6:18, that's right. 2 Corinthians 6:18. 2 Corinthians, I'm sure what it is. 2 Corinthians 6:18. Well, on this coronavirus. It's a horrible thing that the world is facing, and I feel sorry for the governors who are trying to save their people. They're doing everything they can to help the people. I don't think they realized all the trouble they were going to face in doing this, but you see the news and you see what they are facing. We also see the threats of war. And of course, that's what causes this. And I hope to get into that part of this seven seals. The seven last seals ends it. It ends the whole world of sin. It's all found in Revelation 16. It's not, all the scriptures are not found there. It actually starts advertising this in Genesis, and it goes all the way through to Revelations. And 16 shows you the seven last plagues that will end mankind's rebellion. There's a lot of people going to die in the next couple of years, maybe less than 2 years. I should have had a date for you, and I'll try to have one next time, which I'll be speaking again several times during this feast. So stay tuned in every day. Here, this article, it says, threat from Iran to U.S. forces in Iraq remain significant. That is to start a war, to start a fight. The Secretary of Nuclear Eastern Affairs did not give details about the threat, but told reporters in the teleconference, it continues to be sufficient. This was April 10th, 2020, by Reuters. Iranian-backed militia pose a significant threat to U.S. forces in Iraq. Now, this is the United States sending U.S. forces to Iraq, and been there for several years now, killing a lot of people, taking the land, and especially the oil. Hurt not the oil. Well, the fighting has not stopped. The people want their land back, and they want back their oil wealth that they had. Iranian-backed militia pose a significant threat. Now, this is Iran, supposedly posing a threat to U.S. forces in Iraq. Iraq, the nation that was supposed to have had secure, Bill Cheney, one of the vice presidents, George Bush's vice president, who was in the oil big time, Halliburton, he wanted all the oil in Iraq, if you remember, and made that adamant and put on the news at that time. And I wrote about it, hurt not the oil, because it fulfilled prophecy. Well, Iranian-backed militia pose a significant threat to U.S. forces in Iraq. Believe it or not, this actually adds to the fulfillment of the seven last plagues. The State Department top diplomat for the Middle East said on Thursday, about a week after U.S. President Donald Trump warned of an attack by Iran on its proxies. The Assistant Secretary of Near Eastern Affairs did not give details about the threat, but told reporters in a teleconference it continues to be significant. Iran-backed military groups have regularly been shelling bases in Iraq that host U.S. forces who's taken over the oil, and the area around the U.S. embassy in Baghdad. Revelation 6, 1 through 6, if you'd turn there, I want to show you something here and show you how this actually is a start to killing the wars. That's what brought on this plague that we're under right now, the plague of the virus that has hit the whole world. We wrote about this 14 years ago, the last time, and then before that, in 1976, in the book, The Mark of the Beast, that this was going to take place. Well, now it's taken place, and we're in the one of the last of seven seals, one of the three woes, all three of the three woes, and we're suffering the poison that we put in the earth. We're suffering the curse. We're cursed from the earth, and the earth is what is taking care of man. Well, of course, now we're in a shape where we have many, many men, but no workers, and the food is getting scarce. And the money to pay the bills is shut off. In Revelation, the sixth chapter, 1 through 6, I won't read this whole thing because I've got to elaborate on it later, but if you'll look at verse 6 here, he says, "And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living," that's a quartet. The quartet is mentioned, but this was written in 96 AY. That's about 2,000 years ago that Revelations was written, and it talks about the house of Yahweh in Revelations. Revelation 22:16 mentions it, but it was written in 96 AY to be lived out in this time period, 2020. There's a lot on that number 2020 that'll be brought to everyone's attention here in the coming days of the feast. The four living creatures, that's a quartet, sang a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and hurt not the oil and the wine. Well, this, of course, is all in this prophesied seven last plagues, in the last plague. In the first five verses there, it'll show that this lamb, that's Yahshua, he opens the seal. He's the high priest over the house of Yahweh. He opens the seal, and he sends his messenger, Matthew 24:14 and 30:31-32. He's sending his messenger, the two witnesses, and then one of them being called the branch, who, Zechariah 6, verse 8, says, will establish the house of Yahweh with Yahshua as the high priest over the house of Yahweh to bring this message to the entire world. Oh, I hope you got all that, but I'm going to elaborate on it more. The Lamb opens the seal and shows you the crowns. That word corona, that's what it means. And then he shows you that peace will be taken from the earth. He gives us United States a great sword, the quartet, war, lots of war, and it affects the oil and the food. Back to this newsletter from Reuters. On Monday, three rockets landed near a district in southern Iraq that houses workers for foreign oil companies. So the fight is over the oil. The United States, the oil companies from the U.S. have control of the oil in Iraq. The people over there who own this oil and land, they want it back. They don't have big bombs, but they have people who form armies to fight to hold their land. These are people from the 12 tribes that started actually back in the days of the Nimrod Military Academy. And their armies have grown. And then Daniel said, you're going to be the best, Nebuchadnezzar. You're going to be the biggest and the strongest. You're going to be taken to Rome, and from there you're going to control everyone on earth. Daniel showed all of that in his prophecy. Get the book, The Mark of the Beast. The oil for foreign oil companies. Oil companies. The oil. For the oil. Don't hurt the oil and our lifestyle, but go to war. Fight. Take peace from the earth. Kill, murder. Well, from that, the earth starts crying out in sickness and disease and starts feeding it back to mankind in a rough sort of way, I'm afraid. This plague we're going through right now, it's going to be over with in about a month. And we're going to be facing another one. Maybe even before this one ends, you're going to be facing the next one, and it's going to be really rough. The next one is going to be really rough. Till the seven are gone and the destruction of almost the total earth is gone. It's as sure as this one is in existence right now. It's as sure as it'll only last five moons. Yes. Yes, Yahweh even tells you how long it'll last. I told you that before. China is going downhill now with it. But the others that caught it later, picked up later, they'll end in five moons also. All of this is going to end. Yahweh tells you this in prophecy. His prophecies are 100% reliable. Well, here we got fighting over the oil now, for foreign oil companies, including U.S. Oil Service Company, Halliburton. Yeah, I know it. That's Dick Cheney's oil company. I don't think his name's on it anymore, but, you know, the thing, the laws they got, well, they can pretty well govern them how they want to. Last week, Trump said Iran or its proxies plan to sneak attack on U.S. targets in Iraq and warned they would pay a very heavy price, but gave no details. So see the plans here. There are plans that this man has brought to light now, saying this is going to take place. U.S.-Iranian relations have been bitter since the Islamic Revolution toppled the U.S.-backed Shah of Iran in 1979 and ushered in an era of theoretic, that's religion, religious rule, ushered in this religious rule. Well, of course, with that comes the bitter hatred of Yada, who sits on the seven hills of Rome. No, we can't allow this religion to take over either. So hurt not the oil and the lifestyle, the religion. The older people, there's two things that come to my mind here. The older people are dying. There's a lot of younger people dying, too, from this plague. But you can see it was kind of designed, and I don't think it's designed by man. It was inspired, and a thousand things had to be done in order for this to poison the earth for 6,000 years and build up to this point. So the religion that instituted this, Yeshua said that all the blood shed of the prophets clear back to Abel is on Yada's head. That's Roman Catholics, Coptic Catholics of Egypt and Roman Catholics in Rome. Now, it's all on their head. That's what Yeshua himself said. Clear back to Abel, which means Cain was the first God-worshipping religion. I said God-worshipping, yes. The world has turned to God-worship. God-worship, as one prophet described it, is like their gods are nothing but sticks of wood. They're dumb, they're stupid, they're hard-headed. They know nothing. But that's what they worship. Well, you could probably get that if you just wake up and see that Santa doesn't come down chimneys. Santa doesn't deliver toys. He doesn't drive reindeer to the air. All of these lies, see, I would say the God, who's like a stick of wood, hard-headed, stupid, ignorant, no brains. Well, this is the lies that mankind, who is inspired by Satan, actually belongs to Satan. That's what your Bible says. Read it for yourself out there. 1 John 3:4, 7, 8 through 10. And then go on down a few verses and you'll see Cain, who you're following, the first God worshiper. So Yeshua said, all this blood that is being shed is actually, you are responsible, Yada. Yada rules the Catholic Church, the tribe of Yada. He's disqualified himself, as I've been bringing out in bits and pieces. Yeshua is now qualified and given all judgment. Yes, he's given all judgment now. You've lost it, Yada. Now your kingdom is crumbling. Yeshua's kingdom, Yahweh's kingdom, the kingdom of the house of Yahweh is building. While you're falling, we're bringing righteousness. Seek first Yahweh, the house of Yahweh, the kingdom of Yahweh. That's the house of Yahweh, the kingdom of priests. Yes, it's here. Yeshua has now been given all authority over it. You've lost it, Yada. Your kingdom is crumbling. It's going down with the last with the last plague, seven last plagues, the older people that are dying, you'd be well to listen to these older people. And they're trying to knock them off now, but older people tend to read their Bibles. And when you read the Bible, you can't help from getting a great deal of righteousness from it, a great deal of information that you don't get from anywhere else in the world. I was raised on the King James Bible. Yahweh blessed me, and eventually the book of Yahweh came out, was published, and it's the greatest book on earth right now that I know of. That's what I'm reading from here today. But these older people that are being killed off because they read their Bibles, Satan doesn't like it. And he's wanting to kill them all. If you would listen to the older people, they'd be telling you you shouldn't do these things. Try it. Your mother, your grandmother, your father, your grandfather. The Pope, that's the mouth of the beast. If you'll turn over to Daniel, the Pope is the mouth of the beast. The beast is described as some of the ladies brought out this morning, the priestess in the house of Yahweh. If you'll look over to Daniel 7, verse 7, you'll see this fourth beast, the fourth beast on earth, and he tells Nebuchadnezzar that wherever man lives on the face of the earth, you're going to rule him. You're going to be over all of them. That's this fourth beast. In verse 8, down to the bottom, almost the last line, eyes in this beast like the eyes of a man, and a mouth. This is the mouth. Passing laws, that's yada. Their mouth is the Pope. They tell him what to go out there and read their writings, and then sometimes they have them change, say, well, he didn't mean that. Surely he didn't mean that. They see they made a mistake. And then you see verse 10. Let's read verse 9. And I beheld until the thrones were set in place. Well, they're set in place. They're set in place, and hardly anyone noticed. Yeshua came and died. He went to heaven. That's as far as they know. Well, why did he go to heaven? Your Bible tells you he went to heaven to learn, first off, to learn how to run the kingdom of Yahweh. He's been training for 2,000 years. Then the house of Yahweh was established. That was prophesied to be established before he died. Several times in the last days. Well, that kingdom, these kingdoms are set up at this time, are set in place, and the Ancient of Days did sit. Yes, the Ancient of Days is over this now. And Revelation gives glory to the Ancient of Days for making the true prophecy. It's called judgments. It's called judgments in the scriptures in Revelation 16, these seven last plagues called judgment. He said, his judgment is a prophecy. He said, if you go this way, it's my judgment that you're going to bring about the seven crowns of Satan, and they're going to be rough. Seven crowns. That's what the word coronavirus means. Corona means crown. Seven of them given to Satan. and she issued them out to all the world through YADA, the Roman Catholic Church. They're wearing those crowns right now and wearing them to destruction. That is the judgment given unto them, wearing them to the death sentence. It is Yahweh's prediction, his prophecy, his judgment, that this is going to take place. Well, he says here, now I beheld the until the thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose vesture, going down to verse 10, a forest stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered to him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and judgment, and the judgment was set. Did you miss that the first time we read it? The judgment is set, and the books were opened. Blessed is he who reads. Remember that? Revelation. In the last days, Yeshua says, I'll give this to the house of Yahweh. Blessed is he who I send to read. Blessed is he who I send to teach and instruct and explain. The books were opened. Chapter 10 of Revelation, 10 verse 7 says, when the seventh Moloch reads, teaches, talks, blows the trumpet, when he does all those things, the seventh trumpet, that's one of the two witnesses, the two olive trees in chapter 11. It specifically says two olive trees that brings forth this message in the last days. Zechariah said, they called them olive branches. Who are these two olive branches? They're the two witnesses that brings forth the word of Yahweh to the earth. Then Yahweh specifically says in chapter 6, verse 8, that keep your eye on the branch. Behold the branch, a man called the branch. He just named him there in Zechariah. Behold the man called the branch. He's going to establish my house. Yeshua said, I will build my house. Matthew 16:18. I will build my house, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Yeshua is high priest over the house of Yahweh that the branch established. Zechariah 6:8. It's set. And the books are opened, and the judgment that Yahweh has given concerning these seven plagues, seven last plagues. The first one is here. It started. It's the last five moons. Check me out and see. Watch it closely. Yahweh tells you the truth. His prophecies are all true. The judgment set. This represents the time period for you here. It leads up to this time period when the judgment is set. You see that in verse 10? Judgments was set in verse 10. The Ancient of Days did set. Yeshua is set as high priest over the house of Yahweh. Now go quickly to Revelations with all of that in your mind. Revelation 16. Look at verse 2. Revelation 16:2. And the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and there And there came a noisome and grievous pestilence. I went into detail explaining all of these words and what they meant. So get the last sermon also. Upon men who had the mark of the beast. The men who had the mark of Daniel 7:25. Rebellion. Rebellious attitudes. Changing the Sabbath meeting, the seventh-day Sabbath meeting with Yahweh, which was an eternal meeting every seventh day. And they changed it and started having meetings with the sun god Baal, Sunday, in honor of the sun god Baal. That's what you see in the Christian churches. That, of course, is Yada, the seven hills of Rome, that called himself Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians in the time of Yeshua and Acts. And, of course, they called themselves the leaders of Israel, the heads of Jacob in 1 Kings 8:4-8. And shows that it came from the Coptic Catholic religion in 1 Kings 8:4-8. From Yeshua's words, this same religion goes all the way back to Cain and all these people murdered that has built up to this time in Revelation and causing this dreadful plague that we're now experiencing in all the world. Sores and the mark of the beast, it fell upon the men who have the mark of the beast and upon those who worship his likeness. That's 16 and verse 2. Look on down to verse 5 now. And I heard the Moloch of the water say, "You're righteous, O Yahweh, who judge." You see that word wrath there? That's judgment. In verse 1, that word wrath, they put that in the King James Version. But in actual fact, it's a judgment that Yahweh says, you do this, it's my judgment that you're going to suffer this. Well, verse 5 now, with that in your mind. And I heard the Moloch of the water say, "You are righteous, O Yahweh, who is and was and will be because. Remember that word because, and write down, I don't have time to cover it, but write down Isaiah 24:1-6. It shows you the because. All the because is rebellion against Yahweh's righteousness. Now notice the next word. You judge. It's not a wrath. Yahweh is not wrathful. He judges that if you do this, you're going to suffer this. And he prophesied you would. You judge this way. Because you judge this way, you're righteous for judging this way. Because it is going to come to pass. Verse 6. They have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and so you have given them blood to drink. You allowed it. You allowed them to go their way. You said, I'm not going to hold anything back from you. That's what he told you. It's in writing, black and white. After the Nimrod system was set up, Yahweh divided the language, and he said, from now on, I'm not going to hold anything back from you. Well, the end is here now. Yahweh's judgments are set. Yahweh has said, our high priest has said, and I heard another out of the altar saying, may this be so, Father Yahweh Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. True and righteous are your judgments. I thought I could go on and cover that whole thing, but I'll take up here the next time I speak. I'll take up here, and now I want, of course, all 4.8 million. Why don't you invite your neighbors, tell them to tune in and watch it with you throughout this week. This is a week of Passover, and the feast is going to be for another 4 days yet, and you will learn things that you never knew was in your Bible. What the blessings, as one was bringing out this morning, the blessings all come from the house. And Yahshua says, you won't see me until you say, blessed, and mean it from the heart, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. Yahweh bless your understanding. I love you! Listen to those trumpets. There must be a million of them.